Yo, this is Joe.
And this is your boy, Eli.
Welcome back to another episode of the Off Wrestling Podcast. On this episode, we'll be giving a quick little breakdown of our thoughts and opinions. But first, the intro.
Like flip the order or something, like we can always act like we just, you know, started with WWE, whatever, we can just get it.
Gotcha. Go ahead and get it started right real quick.
Actually,
hey yo, you that just flipped on the city player. I just want to inform you that we got somebody good.
Is this really how you're gonna start the podcast? I'm wondering.
Yeah, that's how we start.
Bruh, okay.
Welcome back to another episode of the Off Wrestling Podcast. I have a new soundboard, so some new sounds added into the podcast. I can tell Joe hates the intro already.
Immediately hate it, but yeah.
Immediately hate it. Maybe I should just cut it down to the part where it just says AOU.
AOU, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You should just turned on this podcast. All right. I don't know.
So just to get us started, I kind of want to touch on some AEW topics first. I feel like we kind of mostly center on WWE topics, so I kind of like to throw in AEW stuff here and there. I feel like sometimes their stuff is a little repetitive, so it's hard to find like newer stuff, and they're a newer company, so like I don't have as many complaints. So sometimes I do, but just to kind of get it started, I know the Young Bucks, they've been like having the AEW title since like they brought the titles in for the tag titles. Do you feel like they've had them for too long? Because I think, I want to say, like, on the last episode on, like, Dynamite when they had on Saturday, they were talking about them being the longest reigning AEW champions. And I'm almost like, I feel like if they're the longest reigning champions, they've had them for too long. This has been a minute.
Yeah, they said, I believe they said over 230 days, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That is crazy.
Pretty much means they ran through the entire roster at this point. I just doesn't feel like, I don't feel like it benefits anybody, especially since I think they said like Penta and Eddie Kingston are like their next opponents, but didn't they just beat Moxley and Eddie Kingston like 3 weeks ago at Double or Nothing? So
I think so.
That's like if somebody beat Big E and Kofi, and then, you know, a few weeks later they were like, all right, next up we're gonna beat Woods and Kofi. It's like, no, you already did that. Like, matter of fact, you beat the better version of that team. So I don't feel like it's benefiting anybody for them to hold on to the belts. I'd rather see the Acclaim. Just go plug that in there. Somebody else.
That's our guys, man. Yeah, I don't like them having the titles for this long, but I do like the idea of them having it for this long. And then the tag team that finally beats them and takes away their reign, they kind of get like this credit of, oh, you beat the Young Bucks, who are the longest reigning AEW tag team. Like, I like that idea of it, but I'm also like, y'all could still put other people over because you're the Young Bucks without the long title reign. You know what I mean? But I would love to see the Acclaim be the ones to take it. But I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go, but it's got to be the Acclaim. And then to the Eddie Kingston thing, what warrants you to have another title shot this soon after already losing, trying to get the title? So you get a new tag team partner and it's like, oh, it's all good now. Like, no, you just lost, bro. Like, I'd rather see Ray Phoenix and Penta together trying to get the tag titles than Eddie Kingston again.
But Penta, but by far to me, is like one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Oh, he definitely is. Yeah, dude is super talented. Super talented. I can see like a lengthy title run his name just like in the future solo.
Yeah,
it's got to happen.
It just feels weird for AEW to have all these groups and then only have one people be, you know, one group is tag champs for this long. Like, it kind of doesn't do anything for everybody else, you know? Like, they got 87 tag teams over there.
They do. 87 tag teams, 100 factions. It's just, it's too much, bro.
Right.
It's way too much. Speaking of title shots, how do you feel about Andrade? I think it was either on Twitter. Did he say this on Twitter, or was it on the actual show where he was saying he demands a title shot right away, like right now?
Yeah, it was on the actual show. He had a sit down with Jim Ross, I think it was.
Got you. Okay. Ross,
and he was saying, I deserve a title opportunity, not only at the TNT title, but also the AEW World title. Mm-hmm. And then I think Vicky and Andrade were going to make a major. They were saying it was going to be a major announcement that was going to make that. Of course, it got interrupted, so it never got made.
Gotcha.
Which I don't even know what that is. Like, what do you think it is? Like, challenging both champs at the same time? Or?
Ooh. See, it would be interesting if both of the champions gave him a match, and whoever won got all the titles. That'd be interesting. But, yeah. It'd be interesting, but I'm also like, you just got here. Like, we haven't even seen him have a debut match in AEW, and we saw how long Miro had to wait to actually get a title shot. And I don't know if that was Miro's own doing or what. We're trying to be the best man, but it doesn't make sense from the just start in the showing like that. You kind of have to work your way up.
Did you see what Rusev was saying on Twitter? He said, I think I tagged you in it. He was like, this guy must think getting undeserved title shots running the family.
I definitely expect Andrade to check him like right away. But nah, it makes sense though, because it's like, just because like you're this big name, it doesn't mean that you deserve a title shot. Like, that's not what you get. Like, we don't see Christian Cage getting a title shot. Like, he's still trying to work his way up. So you kind of have to put some work in first. You know what I mean? You got to work your way up to that stuff, man. You can't just come in and get it. But it would be surprising if they did just give him a title shot out of nowhere. But he'd have to lose it. He couldn't win. And if he does win, some major heel heat is coming his way.
Definitely.
Major.
What did you think about I believe her name is Piper Niven. It was Eva Marie's bodyguard. When they did the announcement and they said that her name is going to be Dewdrop. Which kind of sounds like a Ninja Turtle villain.
And immediately when I saw that, I was like, is this teaming up and this pairing already over? Like, it seems like this is the second week of this gimmick and they're already kind of like, nope, we're dropping it.
It's definitely only the second week that she's been paired with her. Which, again, I hate when they do the Ascension stuff like way too early. Like what they did, the Hurt Business, well, that was actually a good team, but how they just broke them up, and I was like, whoa, 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 what are we doing? Like, you can already tell, like, Cedric was kind of going off and doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And that was, like, you know, like, way too early in it, but this is literally week two. You're breaking up 2 weeks into development. Like, did they just change their minds on this? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it almost seems like they got bored halfway through, but I don't know if this turns into, like, something else, or, like, if that's her first feud is versus Dewdrop. What's her real name? You said Piper?
Yeah, I think it's Piper Niven is her.
Okay, I'll say Piper. Let me stop saying Dewdrop. Yeah, but I don't know. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I was like, wait, what? Like,
even was only in the match for like a second too.
How do you feel about Nikki Cross's new character? I was really shocked. So at first, I thought this was something that was like Alexa Bliss is doing. Like, she somehow like was able to corrupt the mind of Nikki Cross finally, and had her become this character.
That's so insane. That's definitely something they would do on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah,
she corrupted her mind so that she thinks she's a superhero. Like, that's
yeah. Like, I really thought that it was like she was corrupting her mind somehow, and she made it into the superhero. Because I was like, why is she doing this right when she's about to team up with Alexa Bliss? Like, this got to be some type of voodoo situation. But I was watching, I think, Wrestle Talk the other day, and shout out to Wrestle Talk. And they were saying that this is Nikki Cross's idea. Like, this character was her idea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, why'd you do this to yourself? This is career suicide. Like, what are you doing? You don't pitch a character like this. Like, I just feel like superheroes and wrestlers and wrestling never works. Like, it never works, bro.
Except
only time with
the Hurricane.
Yes, with the Hurricane. That's the only time it's worked. Anybody else, it doesn't work. Like, I remember when Neville first debuted, they tried to make him into the superhero character. Didn't really work. Ricochet, kind of the same thing. And I just don't like how this looks already. Like, it's...
God, if I hear that one more time, he's got moves you only see in video games. Like,
he's like a video game character. But I just saw it, and she, like, had... If everybody believes in themselves and you trust in your true power, you can do anything. And I was just like, no, she's a superhero. what is she doing?
And after the match, she was so like overly enthusiastic about it, and she
it was cringy.
Exact name, but she kept saying like something about the spark. She was like, "I just got this spark," and then after
the spirit.
The spirit and the spark, and then she said like, I think on Raw Talk or whatever, she's like, "I know I don't have superpowers. I can't fly. I don't have super strength. But when I throw in this outfit, I feel like I can do anything and believe in myself." And I was just like, "I don't know."
And it's like, you got the wins against like Charlotte and Rhea because you were dressed as you. You were being yourself. Like, why do you have to dress up as a character now?
Yeah.
Just to prove that.
Yeah, and when I saw that it was her idea too, I was like, "Whoa!" Like. This is something. This is legit. Like the type of gimmick they give somebody like right before you get released.
Yeah.
Like, well, we'll see if this works. If this doesn't work, you know, whatever. They're out of here.
Yeah.
So
I just thought Vince was involved. I thought Vince was involved. I was like, Vince did it. It's got to be Vince. It's like, nope. She did it herself. Like, I don't understand, bro. I don't get it.
It's I mean, it would be odd, but I still feel like it's weird that they didn't like pair her with Nikki and just like give her another gimmick. Like, you know how Alexa has this Lily character, like
mm-hmm. I guess
she could have been Lily or something like that. Like she could have been like one of her childhood friends or something like that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or do dark things that maybe she had to move away or something like that. Like she could have been that, but as an actual person, not as like a stupid dog.
Yeah, or like Lily possesses Nikki Cross.
Okay, let's not do that. No, I was trying to keep the booking.
No,
I was trying to keep the booking realistic. And say
okay,
like a childhood friend of Alexa Bliss's. Maybe she went off edge. She had to move away for a couple years. She never talked to her for years, and it turns out Nikki Cross. I don't know, but yeah, I was trying to get away from like the supernatural stuff because
gotcha.
It's just going over the edge with the dog, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just want all this to stop. I want them to just end Raw one day. Just come in and you'll be like, hey, we're gonna reinvigorate Raw and like mix it in with NXT or something. Or
make
just
it a come in show.
Right, make it a 2-hour show or come in one week and be like, you know what, this is the last episode of Monday Night Raw. Like, I don't know.
Okay with that.
Huh?
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, like it's just so bad now. Like I don't even want to watch it anymore. It feels like a chore to watch it now, man.
I do wonder how this character is gonna do in front of like live audiences and stuff. Like how they're just gonna
I don't know. Bruh. They're gonna boo it, man.
Some of these guys like this, the Lily character with Alexa Bliss, a lot of these folks that are getting like canned fake crowd reactions and stuff, I really wonder how they're gonna do when they actually put this in front of a live crowd. They're like, oh yo, this sucks. Like this is terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, man, it's just. I'll tell you, this is the debut episode of the soundboard, right?
It is. So, but as far as the good thing with Raw, I remember I was watching it was a Ricochet versus AJ Styles Money in the Bank qualifier match. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about Raw. I was like, man, I hate this. Like, oh, like, I was like, in a perfect world, Ricochet would actually win this match and move on to the tournament. I was mm-hmm. like, man, the writers suck. Like, we know AJ's going to get over. And then he actually does it. And then not only that, but Riddle goes over Drew McIntyre and like Morrison goes over Randy Orton. I was like, well, what is happening? Like all mm-hmm. the dogs won on Raw that night. Like that was crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected. Like especially Ricochet. I was like, wait, what? Ricochet won a match?
I was sure he was AEW bound. Like two right. Nights.
I'm like, is this the year 2019? Like what is happening? Like he actually, and they got him coming out with black jeans on, gloves. Like he just. I never expected him to win this match or let alone like be in the pay-per-view in the high spot. Like, I don't know. It really caught me off guard, but I think he's going to do well in the match. I don't know if he's going to win. That would be shocking if he actually won. But I think he's going to perform very well in that match. I think that's his kind of environment for him to get some, his good moves off.
Yeah. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they having, supposed to have another qualifier on Raw, with Drew and AJ and, I guess all the losers like Randy Orton.
Yes, like Drew, AJ, and Randy.
It's only for one spot. Like I hope they don't keep doing that until they're all essentially in the match anyway. But as far there's only three qualifiers. There's only Riddle and Ricochet and Morrison, which I would hope one of those guys, like one of the new guys who have never won a world title, be be in it, but they could easily like sneak Orton back in here, sneak back in here with qualifiers. They're like, all right, you got one more shot, man. Man.
I could see Raw doing a thing where it's like, oh, it's a draw, so all three of you are put into the match. Like, I could see that.
Awful, bro.
And they're like, what? No, I earned this. Like, I could see that happening. Or I could also see it where it's like, it's a triple threat between those three. And then, like, Randy wins for some reason, and it's just the final two, and they have another match with those two. And then eventually they add the last person in or something. I can see that.
I think they're going to add – they could possibly add somebody like Sheamus into the mix like this.
Mm.
Typically is in these kind of matches. You know, I don't know who else is in the roster that they would add into this. But
they need to give a young guy a chance, like Umberto or somebody. Like, give them a chance to shine in this kind of match and earn an actual title shot. I feel like there's a better story behind that.
Yeah, this is a ladder match, too, so, yeah.
Yeah, like, get some people in that's going to actually give you a great match. And I think this is a...
I don't want to see Drew in a ladder match. Like, no offense.
Oh, my God.
I really
him,
don't
like...
see Randy Orton do an RKO off the ladder. Like, he's already done that. Like,
he's done it a bunch of times. You don't want to see Drew slowly climbing up the ladder with his big quads. Yeah, I don't want to see that either. But
I'd rather see the super athletic guys like the Kofi Kingstons, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods in this match. Why not? You know, like something like that.
But he could really use that kind of elevation of being in that kind of match and, you know, making some history. And I think this is the first actual pay-per-view back with live fans after WrestleMania. So you would want your more entertaining superstars in this kind of match for the show. But I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. But I think I don't want to make predictions yet. We probably said this for another episode, but my early prediction is that maybe Ricochet pulls it off, and if not, maybe Riddle wins. So far, that's who I got.
I can roll with that. If I had to pick somebody, I would actually pick Riddle. Riddle, and then storyline is there. It's like he's with Randy, and Randy kind of gets jealous of it. You can already see like Randy already getting jealous. So if Riddle had that briefcase, you know, Randy could have a reason to turn on him for it, or like fight him for the briefcase, something like that. It'd be a big story. I like that.
We always made the joke. We were like, who does WWE hire as writers? Because it seems like it's just random people off the street sometimes. Because the storylines are just so, like, dry. And you could tell, like, it's overproduced. Like, it's too much acting. So it's like they have to have a writer from some type of TV show. And it seems like it was right. They hired WWE writer Kenny East Mobley, who just got fired recently. And it wasn't because of, like, her lack of experience. It's because she kind of came out and said that, you know, they pretty much hired me knowing that I knew nothing about the business. Like, she didn't even know who the wrestlers were. And I thought it was interesting that they like fired her
Bobby
for making
Ashley
the count.
Like,
yeah, like Bobby Ashley. Yeah. Like Bobby Jones, Bobby Leslie. But I don't know. It's like, I think I'm more so like surprised that they let her go because of the comment she made. Because it's like, you already knew off jump when you hired her that she didn't know anything. So why do you have a problem with her saying things about that? You know what I mean? It's interesting.
It is. And I think I'm thinking from their perspective, like they definitely hire TV writers that are, you know, that worked on like other TV shows that know nothing about wrestling. They just didn't like the fact that somebody actually like exposed it, you know?
Yeah. Talked like, about it.
Yeah. Cause I guarantee you like 90% of the people that are currently working for them have never produced anything for wrestling. Like, it's just like, you know, they did something for Gossip Girls or something like that, you know, like,
yeah.
So you can tell by the state of the product, especially by Monday Night Raw, it's just so over the top and so like
way too much
touch, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I think it had to be her.
Yeah, right. I had a hunch. I was like, they can't be hiring people that know what they're doing back there. Like, it's got to be somebody. So I think hearing this actually like lets you know like what their process is. But then I was also like, I was watching a clip from, I think it was the Jobber Tears podcast. And they were saying, like, you kind of want people that don't know much about the business, because if you hire a bunch of people that know a lot about the business, then they could show favoritism to certain wrestlers. You know what I mean? And that it would essentially turn into somebody fantasy booking their own show. So that made a lot of sense. I was like, okay, I get them hiring people from outside the company and that don't know much about wrestling. But then I feel like it's also got to be a 50-50 split to where, like, you know enough about the wrestlers, but then you also can bring something fresh in. So I don't know. It was interesting to see like they actually hire people that don't know about wrestling.
But you know, at the same time, like I'm more so like I want somebody to know something about what I'm watching.
Yeah.
Like if they don't, that's a problem for me, bro.
Right. Yeah. You can't bring in a baseball announcer and have them like announce basketball. Like it's not going to be the same feeling. It's got to be somebody that has some type of like background and knows what they're talking about. It doesn't have to be perfect.
To the rule like Pat McAfee, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
yeah,
coming in out of nowhere, but they're doing this with like everybody they hire, so that's different.
Yeah, it seems like Pat McAfee has a knowledge of the business though and the wrestlers before he came. Yeah. So I think that kind of helps, you know what I mean? But to just have somebody that just like was a writer for The Office come in and like write for WWE, just kind of, those don't mix.
Yeah.
They don't really mix. But I guess moving back into like the wrestling topics or wrestling related topics, how do you feel about Shinsuke becoming the new king after taking Baron Corbin's crown? I really wish they would have just did a King of the Ring tournament.
Yes, bro. Why did we not get a King of the Ring tournament? Like, could they not have a 3 or 4 week tournament on SmackDown and like build some interest in it? Like, they legit just had Shinsuke come out with Rick Boogs every week and steal his crown. And then they had a match on SmackDown where Shinsuke wins his crown. I'm like, there's no tournament. Like, this doesn't elevate anybody. Now he's no longer King Corbin. Like, they could at least save it for a pay-per-view.
Yeah. I don't know.
King of the Ring crown.
Yeah, like, we wrestling for the King of the Ring crown. I think that would be a better, like, idea versus, like, him just taking the crown and being like, whoop, I'm the king now. Like, I hated every part of that. And then it was, like, they had, the whole segment was, like, basically, like, you had the guitarist on the guitar. You said, what's his name? Eric Boogs? Oh, yeah, he was on the guitar playing the guitar. And then he was like, I'm giving the crown to Shinsuke. And Shinsuke was basically just dancing with the crown. And I was like, is this what I'm watching right now? Like, right? I'm like, can Shinsuke, like, do a promo or something? He's just out there, like, dancing and twerking. Like, I'm like, bro, what is happening right now? And then Baron pretty much was in the back and was, like, accepting it. Like, yeah, he's got my crown now.
Yeah, like, and I thought, like, he was going to, like, you know, trick him. Like, maybe they unveiled it and the crown went really in there. And he's like, ah, he's like, no. I lost everything. Shinsuke took everything from me. Yeah.
And I'm like, what? So I'd much prefer a King of the Ring, maybe pay-per-view or something, or have just a big battle royal for the crown, or have them two just fight each other for the crown. Like,
yeah. Which Xavier Woods has been pretty vocal about, like, for a while on Twitter, like, bring back the King of the Ring tournament. I could see him, like, that. The King of the Ring tournament is supposed to be an opportunity for somebody to step up, like, who's normally not, like, that prominent and, like, to shine. Like, that's what happened with Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's happened with a lot of former King of the Ring winners. And, like, that could have been Xavier's shot, or that could have been, you know, whoever's spot to, like, step up and say, hey, I beat all these people in this tournament. I'm the King of the Ring. And they were like, nope. Just have him beat him on SmackDown in a match, you know, whatever. Nobody ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, it kind of sours the whole thing.
It definitely does, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's such a historic thing, just having. You ain't my king, blood. But it's such a historic thing just to have, like, the King of the Ring tournament. There's so much history behind it, and you've had, you know, the Randy Savages, like you said, the Stone Colds and the Kurt Angles and stuff. Brock Lesnar's win, so Booker T, I go on now. But it just, I don't know, I feel like it would make sense to bring the tournament back. Like, I don't know why they do it. We're like, oh, we're gonna do the tournament once every 4 years. Like, do it every year, or do it every 2 years, you know what I mean? But it is what it is.
Yeah. But I guess the last segment, what was it? Edge returning on Friday Night SmackDown?
Yes, against Roman.
Yeah. By the way, did you catch when Paul Heyman name dropped Braun Strowman? And he was talking about people that Roman Reigns has beaten, and he said he actually mentioned Braun Strowman, who's already been released, and Daniel Bryan, and I think he said The Fiend and everyone, but it was
Yeah, I was really shocked by that. I was like, wow, they're mentioning people that were signed to the company. Like, he got released, so you can still say his name. That always gets me. I remember when CM Punk had, like, left, and they were still saying his name when he left. I was like, I could do that still, technically. So that's interesting.
Him, I guess.
They do own the name, though, if you think about it. Like, it's,
I guess that's why they do that.
It's still kind of okay for them to say his name because they own the name, so... But yeah, I was really shocked to see Edge come back. Like, I really wasn't planning on seeing him again for a while, and I honestly forgot about Edge. Like, I feel like he lost the WrestleMania, and I kind of wrote him off. And I never was thinking like, oh, okay, Edge could come back and try to declare like, oh, it was a triple threat, it wasn't fair. Let me get my fair title shot. And I think that might be what they're doing now.
But it's like, yeah, I agree. Like, I forgot about him, like, because I was expecting him to come back, you know, like, oh, yeah, it was triple threat, like, the next day, and no, he didn't. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I feel like I was enjoying Roman so much and, like, the whole family dynamic that I didn't even care that much. But I'm scared because I'm, like, I'm really enjoying Roman as this heel champion, and I want to see him against John Cena and eventually against The Rock as this new character. But if Edge wins, him being back kind of scares me, because if Edge wins, like, this kind of ends, and you have the whole thing of like maybe Roman trying to get the title back from Edge, but it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I could definitely see Roman and the Usos jumping Edge 2 weeks from now. Yeah.
By the way, was it Edge low-key a heel at WrestleMania?
Like low-key, yeah.
Low-key, he was like a heel at WrestleMania, so
yeah.
Right now, he seems like maybe he would just be a face because Roman is just such a super heel, and there's no middleman or whatever for Edge to run over, so
mm-hmm.
It's like Edge is like the baby face in the situation, and I just don't know how they're gonna do with the fans being back, like coming soon. I don't mm-hmm. think they're gonna save this for SummerSlam. I mean, it feels like this is the type of match you save for SummerSlam and not TLC. You know,
true, yeah.
Because it's like this is a SummerSlam type match. Like this is a legend versus Roman Reigns. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I know they're fighting at Money in the Bank, so I think. I'm excited for Money in the Bank. I think it's going to be a dope pay-per-view.
Although I do expect a DQ because this is like a SummerSlam type match. You know?
It is. They got us hyped, but probably in the DQ. I would be surprised if Roman beat Edge clean.
Clean, yeah.
I'd be like, whoa. But it might be a DQ. Maybe Daniel Bryan jumps out of nowhere and comes back and attacks Edge. Or I would say it online too, like Seth attacking Edge, and then you have this whole Edge versus Seth thing.
Initially trying to challenge Roman, I guess, whenever Edge came out, like before Edge came out, like Seth, I think he was going to challenge. So I can mm-hmm. definitely see them being like, okay, triple threat, Roman and Seth and Edge. That would be pretty clean.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, man. You want to go ahead and take us out again?
Well, that was another episode of Awful Wrestling Podcast. Please remember, if you did not like it, you can't complain because we told you it was awful from the jump. All for some podcasts.
Peace. See you next time.
What?
Soundboard debut.
This guy. Gonna be about 35 feet.
If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Also, follow us on Instagram at Off Wrestling Podcast and on Twitter at Off Wrestling 1. We also accept donations.